It was a great honor in two ways. One, I was being requested by the IGAD summit, the heads of state of IGAD. That in itself is an honor when you are recognized by erstwhile colleagues. And secondly, it gave me the possibility of participating in the stabilization of Africa's newest state, republic, whose liberation struggle with have been associated.
Okay. And after accepting the appointment and also to struggle to bring peace to the youngest nation in Africa and in the world, to monitor the peace process, the implementation, what event stood out for you especially during this whole period you have been in South Sudan?
The fighting of July 2016. That came as...
The J1 fighting.
The J1 fighting. Because at that time we appeared to be... Well, of course, we were making compromises. We were not fulfilling the requirements of the agreement by letter, but certainly the spirit of it. And we were making progress. And Riek Machar had returned, and he had been appointed first vice president. We had built a house for him. And when we first came, one of the things that happened was that His Excellency the President created 28 states, which became a problem. And we worked around with that and compromised and requested that they not be operationalized until the government of national unity has been formed. There was some compromise there. And so the fact that we had reached a stage after many obstacles, we have reached a stage where the leader of the opposition had come back, we were very hopeful, very, very hopeful. Although I must admit that after the first vice president came and was appointed and good speeches were made by both His Excellency the President and the new first vice president, they didn't talk for 28 days until I started again subtle diplomacy between them to say that they should talk. And even if they agree or disagree, they have to talk about those because they are the leaders of the country. That, of course, was ominous. But I didn't think what happened in July would happen. It took me by surprise, and it was the greatest reverse to what we had achieved to that day.
You seems to be really a little bit concerned about the fighting in J1 on the 8th of July 2016, the creation of 28 states, the two principles, the agreement not talking to each other for almost 30 days or a month, like you mentioned, 28 days. This must have been one of the most challenging time for you. Beside these challenges, are there other particular challenges that faced you as a chairperson of JEMMEC?
Well, it's the non-implementation of the agreement, the tendency for fighting to break out all over the place, when in fact we had been talking. So far as we in JMEC, the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, where it is in this international community on the one side and the regional and international community on the one side and the South Sudanese groups, parties on the other, we argued, of course, we had disagreements, but on the whole, we were making progress. So the fighting is the one that really was worrisome. It continues to be worrisome, the violation of the ceasefire by various groups.
Do you regret having spent some years as an elder contributing to the South Sudan peace process and making sure that as somebody who believes in democracy, you will have loved to see South Sudan being one of the prosperous country where you will have at least earned some kind of award at the end of your tenure as the chairperson of JEMMEC?
Yes, I would have loved to have seen South Sudan peaceful and prosperous. That has not yet happened, but I still believe that it will happen. It is a matter of regret, yes. But you know, You don't do anything just because you think you will succeed. You have to do it because it's right. I thought that I was duty-bound to, as indeed the region as a whole, felt that they had a duty to assist the sister republic to become a normal country and develop. And I look at it in that way, that yes, I, for instance, SJMEC, which I chaired, we were able to reconstitute the cabinet, we were able to reconstitute the National Assembly, so that the institutions which exist now were in fact created by us. Then the National Constitutional Amendment Committee has done its work, and no less than 7 pieces of legislation have been drafted, and 5 of them submitted to the government. Of course, they have not yet been enacted, even though they have been with the government for a long time. Those are the various areas, of course, of disappointment, but you don't give up just because you encounter difficulties. And so we think that some progress has been made, and that ultimately it will be made, that peace will come.
What would be your response to the voices of critics who say you and your commission failed miserably in steering the peace process in the right direction, and you also admitted in that 2015 peace agreement was ailing?
Well, we don't think we have failed miserably. We did stabilize, we did prevent some of the fighting that should have taken place and some of the destruction that had taken place. As I say, a number of institutions have been created. And of course, as I leave, we have brought about a revitalization of the old agreement, and the new agreement is much more comprehensive, and I am hopeful that the peace will come, that this one will be implemented in letter and spirit, which wasn't the case previously. Yes, we didn't achieve exactly what we had wanted. But to some extent, it's just as well. You know, the 2015 agreement was an agreement between two groups that had fought, the government and the opposition, to the exclusion of all the other people. So the revitalized agreement, which we suggested and participated, and where we provided the secretariat, and is much broader. It will include more women, include more groups, and therefore it's more representative of the peoples of South Sudan. And also other components, for instance, the committee that is envisaged to look at tribal boundaries, it's good. Because when I had met with the chiefs, that's what they complained about, that they had been ignored altogether. Why did I ignore them? I told them, no, it wasn't me. I didn't know you had been ignored. So I think this time some of their concerns have been taken into account. And therefore, that's a consolation. So I wouldn't say we have failed. I wouldn't agree that we have failed.
All right.
Dismally. Was it? Did you say dismally?
Miserably.
Miserably.
Yeah.
No. Right now, everybody is upbeat. I think everybody is very hopeful. So even I, as I go, to make it possible for new brains and thinking to come in, I am go away, but I'm hopeful. I'm not feeling hopeless or ashamed.
Okay. And what will be your message to, first, the leaders who are going to implement this revitalized peace agreement, to the people of South Sudan who are looking forward to make sure that there is an everlasting peace in this country as you leave the country?
Well, I think my wish and my message to the leadership, not the people. There is nothing wrong with the people, but there is something wrong with the leadership because they're not willing to work together. This is their country together. It doesn't belong to the opposition or the government or this group or that group. It belongs to the totality of the population. And all the leaders, they have a role to play. But that role must be a positive one of developing the country. They have a duty to look after the health of the nation, education and training, developing the assets of this country so that it becomes prosperous. That's what they should be worrying about. Instead of planning how to kill each other, they ought to be planning how to prevent people dying from natural causes, which is the duties of normal governments. But I think that this was an aberration, and that the leaders of this country would see that they have wasted their time, and that they can work together. We don't have to hold identical views in order to be able to work together. What is important is to realize that when you lead people for the sake of the nation, not for yourself.
And are you optimistic that this time around, the revitalized agreement, which you fought hard to make sure that it's brought to light, will be implemented fully by the stakeholders?
I am very hopeful that it will be. I am very hopeful that it will be. Yes, I believe that it will be. I think they have learned their lesson. They have seen that they can't conquer and rule by fighting each other and destroying instead of building. And so I think this time they will listen to the international, to the region, and to the international community.